added, we believe, we receive it by faith. The bread that comes from heaven, your own son's life, we receive it, Lord. Because no other life pleases you but your son's life, Lord. By faith, we receive it. Help us to walk through this day in faith, O Lord. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Commit everyone, Lord, online, offline. Plead the blood of Jesus over every home, every person. We seek and believe in your protection, Lord. That our God is our shield and our buckler. Our strong fortress. That in you we are secure, O God. Anoint us this morning, Father. To hear, to understand, to prepare, Father, for your son's coming. To that end, I commit this morning's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. We are in Revelation 8 and we are seeing the opening of the seventh seal. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. So that half an hour, is it earth time or heaven's time? We do not know. If it's heaven's time by ratio, it's around 21 years. Okay. 21 years. Meaning if 1,000 years is a day, then if you break it down, it is 20.8. So it's around 21 years of silence. We do not know. We are just presuming these things. I don't think so, but it makes no difference in heaven. I heard one pastor say, this is the only confusion where it says, did the rapture, all the saints go to heaven after this event? Because if it were so, then there will be only men in heaven because there is silence in heaven for half an hour. Silence in heaven for half an hour. How is it possible? Okay, so we saw again the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Again, there is this question about the seven angels. They keep appearing in the scripture here and there. But there was one rhetorical question I read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20. Okay, 20. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, the seven golden stamps, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. So there is again a question. Are these seven angels who are the seven angels of the churches, of the seven churches? But then the question happens then to the angel of the church, right? So there is an issue. Is it an angel or a pastor? But one of the assumption is if these seven angels are the angels of the seven churches, and these angels are now standing before God, that means the church has left. Church has left. They got no more work on earth. They are in heaven. Okay, so you have to, the book of Revelation we will never completely understand because it's beyond understanding. We can only put pieces here and together and come up with something which we are not even then very sure. But because again, all the symbols, the stuff which John is seeing, you need to understand when somebody is seeing an event from 2000 years in the past, how he sees it, we have no clue. And how he puts across in his understanding is with the pictures he has then from that age. So we see they were given, to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, and then in verse 3 we see another angel come, and then another angel having a golden censer we saw came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. We saw it on Monday, how this is connected with the old covenant. That's why the tabernacle. The good thing is that when you get saved, thoroughly read the new covenant. Then go to the old covenant. Because if you don't read the old covenant, you will still not understand the new covenant, because all the pictures are given over there. The tabernacle especially will explain, and you have the parallel book in the new covenant, which is the book of Hebrews. So you will see the prayers and the incense. And then in verse 4, you will see the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. So we will see. This is the result, ultimately, of 2,000 years of the church's prayer. There's two kinds of prayers we see in the Bible where the church, the believing church prays. One is, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. The other is, Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The answer to these two prayers are different. For the people who are the elect, it is shown as mercy and grace. And to the others, it is shown as justice and retribution. Okay. You cannot have one without, when you say, Lord, thy kingdom come, when the kingdom comes, it's completely different for the elect and for the others. So now, the answer to the prayers, we see the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Okay, this is just what you call the fireworks before the real show starts. Okay, the scene is set for the judgments of God to unfold. So this is again one of the assumptions, that this is the second half of the tribulation period. Second half of the tribulation period. See, a lot of people go into dates, and when they look into the dates, they say that it should all end by 2033, because that would be 2,000 years since he went. And when they're minus 21 from 2033, they reach 2012. And when they reach 2012, they said, if you look at 2012, that is when the secular world started talking about the end of the world. Okay, they started talking about the apocalypse and the end of the world, and Hollywood made all those movies, 2012 and all. Okay, you'll say this, that's how you go back and say there are clues in the Bible when you said. So they say, if you go by that, then 2026 rapture should take place. So that's how they figure it out. They said, the day and the hour no man knows, but we can roughly have an estimate if that is how it goes. But I'm not setting any day and hour. All we can do is be ready. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Okay, they were getting ready. I mean, they were taking a deep breath to sound. The first angel sounded. First angel sounded. Okay, now we are gonna see what they say is in the second half of the tribulation, when the judgments of God. Okay, they're getting ready. We will see here, the rest of the chapter will give you the first four judgments, and then later the next three judgments. The first of the four judgments fall upon all creation, and the last three actually on mankind. Okay, on mankind. What we are going to see is how God will unleash the natural elemental forces of nature in judgment against the world. This is God's final response to rebellion. The question is always, are they symbolic or are they literal? Is to study them in conjunction with the plagues of Egypt. The question is, were they literal or were they symbolic? For in the book of Exodus, five of the plagues Moses did in Egypt is repeated in the book of Revelation. There it was a judgment upon a wicked dispensation that refused to let go of God's people and enslaved them. Here it is the retribution of God for what they have done to God's saints. Okay. So in Exodus we see Moses performing the symbolic act of like waving the rod over the waters, which will turn the waters into blood. Here we see an angel performing the act of blowing a trumpet. Okay. You will see Aaron smiting the dust and physical eyes appeared. And no one suggests what happened in Egypt was symbolic. Okay, so we can conclude that the trumpet judgment is introducing physical judgments upon the earth. Only some of it are beyond human understanding. But much, much, much bigger scale than we see in Exodus. So first, in verse 7, it falls upon the earth. Then it falls upon the sea. Then upon the fresh waters. Okay. Then it is unleashed on every part of the created universe. That's how it unfolds. Okay, unfolds. Go back to verse 8. Okay. Yeah. 8. So, 7 and 8. Okay. And the hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Okay, so we see here hail, okay, and fire, hail and fire, mixed with blood, burning up all the vegetation where they land. In Exodus 9:24. Exodus 9, there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. So very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Okay, so we see in Exodus, we see hail and fire. What God is doing? No, we do not know. We do not know. Okay, we see that in Exodus 19 when he judges Sodom and Gomorrah. It's literally fire and brimstone coming down. Okay, but he mixes this with blood too, which increases the terror. Where does this blood come from? We do not know. Okay, we go back there. We go back to 8:7. Okay. We will see. Yeah. Mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass were burned up. Remember, the first of God's creation on earth was vegetation. And that is where the judgment begins. The first was vegetation. And from there, the judgment begins. Usually when natural calamities take place, like earthquakes and all take place, you know, the birds and the animals have a sense. They start acting weird. They start flying. They start moving out. But I have a feeling this is going to be so absolutely in control that nobody has any warning. And that I believe that the birds also will be caught unawares, and that is their blood that is mixed. Okay. And if you know the number of birds in the sky, they'll go in millions and millions. Okay. Like when they're agitated, they actually all get onto the sky and they will come down. I'm looking at these pictures and trying to use our little brains to see what is this like. Okay. In Joel 2:30 and 31. Okay. I will show wonders in the heaven, in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the coming of the great and the awesome day of the Lord. All this. One of the reasons also is this. There is a rational, sensible, stewardship of what God has given to us, which is called the resources, the earth. We are supposed to take care of it. We are supposed to be good. Then there is the irrational, religious worship of earth that is going on. The tree huggers and all those people, Gia, the nature god, that is going on, okay, everywhere. And this is God's answer to that. Okay. And you know it's an agenda. It is not a commonsensical approach. It is an agenda. Basically, God is saying, you can do whatever your climate change protection, this thing, nothing is going to change. What are you going to do when I do like this? What are you going to do? Okay, so we need to look. We should be very, very rational. You can lock it, Dr. Richard. Yeah? So we will see things. You don't want to be there at that time. You will wish if you are there, you had left. You were prepared. Okay, so this is the word. That's why God is saying this is the days are shortened. They're really, really shortened. Otherwise, nobody would escape. You come towards 8 and 9 after that. Then the second angel sounded. Something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. In Exodus, we saw in 7:20 and 21, Moses turning the water into blood, okay? And all the waters that were in the river were turned into blood. We see that, okay, Moses. Now here, what we are seeing, it's parallel, but at a global scale, okay? What happens is, we do not know what it is. Like I said, no, we look at it. And we're trying to figure it out with our understanding of 2023 scientific knowledge, the advanced knowledge that we have. But you need to realize somebody who is listening to, seeing this and writing is writing from 2000 years back. 2000 years back. Okay. Think about it. Today's modern battlefield, whether it is in Gaza or whether it is in Russia, Ukraine, the drones and the missiles and all these things that are going on. If John were to see that from then, how would he describe it? He has nothing in his culture to describe it. Okay, so some of the descriptions that you see in the book of Revelation starts making sense only to us. But he cannot make sense. Okay, he cannot make sense. So he has to describe in words which he knows. Great. Now it could be an asteroid or a meteor. Okay. It was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died. It's a picture in Zephaniah 1:3. Again, we have a picture. Okay, all this is there, pictures. The old covenant. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land. So it is being God said, no? When man is judged, everything that is under man is judged. Okay, so we do not know what exactly is happening, but we know probably an asteroid or a meteor will crash, and they keep talking. NASA keeps on talking about asteroids passing so close, so close, so close. But one day it will crash. Okay, one day it will crash. Then what happens is one third of the sea creatures. There are more creatures in the sea than in the land. Okay, and any point of time now, today, any point of time, there are at least 50,000 container ships in the sea. Just container ships alone. So you can talk about the naval, the vessels and the merchant navy, the hundreds and thousands of vessels which are out. And the Bible says one third of them will be destroyed. Okay. Then now we are in the light of the Fukushima disaster when the tsunami took place and all. So when this mountain hits the water and the third of the sea becomes blood, can you imagine the tidal waves it will cause? Countries will just, our coastal areas and all will go. There will be no coastal areas. Okay. All those who bought houses by this beach, seafront, okay, we'll see a different scene. Okay, so God is warning us. God is warning us. Okay. In 8:10, Okay, another picture. When the third angel sounded, a great star fell from the heaven, burning like a torch. It fell on the third of the rivers, on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters become wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Okay. See, now please understand, wormwood is there in the Bible. And it is connected with the taste. And wormwood is the result of idolatry, the judgment. In Deuteronomy 29, 17 and 18. And you saw their abominations and their idols which are among you, wood and stone and silver and gold, so that they were not to be among you man or woman, family or tribe, whose heart turns away today from the Lord our God to go to serve the gods of these nations, that there may not be among you a root bearing the bitterness or wormwood. Okay, so God would say that, you know what, if you pursue idolatry, your life will be bitter. Your life will be bitter. If you pursue idols, your life will be bitter. And he says, it's a real picture is going to happen on earth one day. Okay. It was a threat by God through his prophet Jeremiah. Okay. In Jeremiah chapter 9, 14 and 15. And they have walked according to the dictates of their own hearts and after the Baals which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood and give them water of gall to drink. If you go to 23:15 again, you will see that. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts concerning the prophets before, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. So he's talking about this is God's judgment on idolatry. Idolatry. Okay. And if you look at what is happening here in Revelation 8:10, what is happening over here, if you look at it, first you remember the land is hit. Second, the sea is it. The third, it is the fresh water. A third of the rivers on the springs of the fresh water supply of earth is going to be affected. The water is, if you drink wormwood, bitter waters, you don't die. The water is bitter. But here you will see people will die. People will die. Okay, the assumption is this star, okay, which will hit in its impact, will go deep into the earth, that it will pollute the source where the headwaters of great rivers come together. And we know there is such a place in the Bible called in Genesis 2 and verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. Okay, so where it parted into four, okay, there is a source, underground source, from where we know the our groundwater level all are connected. They're all connected under. So we do not know how these systems work, but God knows because he created. But when he hits it, the fresh water also is gone. Okay, fresh water also it is gone. Remember, the impact of all of it is, we will see again, going to the next verse. 8:12. Now the fourth angel sounded, and the third of the sun was, now he's moving from earth to the rest, third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. Okay, so what we are seeing here is God is not going to spare anything. Okay, now it's the heavenly objects that are going to be struck. And it's interesting, that is when the fourth angel sounds, because God had created the sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day. Okay, so the chronology begins with vegetation. He moves to the fourth day, and the fourth angel, if you have doubts, just Genesis 1. We don't have to read the whole thing, but if you want, we can see in 14 to 19, it's on the fourth day. And when the fourth trumpet blows, they are all affected. They are all affected. Okay. This corresponds also to the ninth plague in Egypt, when darkness covered all of Egypt. It corresponds to what Jesus warned in Revelation, Luke 21, 25 and 26. There will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Okay, so it's all chronological if you look at it. You guys probably were very young, so don't remember. But when Iraq had invaded Kuwait, and then Operation Desert Storm, American forces went in there. But before the Iraqi armies retreated from Kuwait, they set the oil wells on fire. The whole sky was darkened in the Middle East. Absolutely. It was for days and days together. So when these things are happening, you need to realize the amount of smoke that is going to rise. Because one third of human vegetation is on fire. The earth is on fire. Oil wells are on fire. Everything is on fire. The smoke is rising. Okay. And the Bible says now the sun is darkened. The moon is darkened. We are going to be reduced to probably around 4 or 6 hours of daylight. Okay, daylight. And we need to realize when the waters are hit, which people do not understand, that much of our oxygen doesn't come from the trees. It comes from the sea, from the planktons. People literally gasp for breath, for one for oxygen and because of the smoke. Okay, clouding. So God is saying, what is going to happen during that, okay? So, we will have very little, there will be no daylight savings time or anything, okay? We will have very little daylight. Okay, so there you are. And if we think the worst is over, read verse 13. Then I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of the ocean, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." God says, no, the worst is yet to come. This is nothing. This is nothing. The worst is yet to come. Okay, so please remember, these are God's angels who will sound the judgment. This is not Santa Claus who says ho, ho, ho. But these are the angels who say whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. If you listen to Santa Claus, you won't be prepared. Okay. So you will see it's three times it is repeated. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you turn to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 12. One woe is past, behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Then only we'll understand that every word there has a meaning. When it says three times, woe, 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 you will realize when will be the first woe be over, okay? Then, Revelation 11:14, Revelation. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. By the time you come to Revelation 12:12. Okay. Now rejoice, therefore, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he has short time. By the time the third woe, the devil is on earth. Because he's found no more place in heaven. He's been cast out. Okay? So the purpose of prophecy is to warn, so that people can repent, prepare, and escape. Now we understand the seriousness of Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So there is a 7-year period set apart, okay, has of which they say the last 3.5 is the great tribulation. And what we are seeing now here is the great tribulation, because you will always get this 3.5 years coming over and over again in this period. Okay? So the simple thing before we finish is this. We don't want to be here at that time. Don't want to be here at that time. And the thing is that you don't have to be here. Don't have to be here. God has opened a way for escape. In Luke 21, verse 34 to 36, God will warn us. Jesus himself talking about these days. Okay. 34 to 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. Okay, when you're talking about that day in biblical, it is not one single 24-hour day. It's a period of judgment. It's called the day of judgment. So it is, it will be like in this case, it could, that day could be 7 years. Okay, the day of Jacob's trouble is not a 24-hour period. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Meaning, it will come unexpectedly. Therefore, God says, this is what you need to do. Watch therefore. Watch therefore. Pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. So the revelation will say, blessed are those who now, from now onwards, die in the Lord, because they have escaped all this. Okay, so when we hear people dying, please remember those believers who die, they are blessed. They have escaped. They have escaped, because we don't know when this can suddenly happen. We can set dates, but nobody knows. The Father alone knows. So watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. So there are three things here. One is verse 35. It will come unexpectedly. Nobody will know it. Suddenly. It's like a snare. A snare is something which you are caught by surprise. If you knew it, you would never be caught. Second thing over there is that we are called to be very watchful. Be very, very watchful and pray always, so that you have to be counted worthy to escape all these things. And the third thing is the negative, what you should not be. 36 is what you should be. 34 is actually talking about, 34. 4 is actually talking about what we should take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down. Weighed down. Okay, it's talking about the two things, either the pleasures of life or the pressures of life. Be very careful. Okay, be very, very careful. He says that how you handle life, because it's one of the two. The rich are by the pleasures of life, the poor are by the pressures of life. He says it doesn't make any difference whether you're rich or poor. Don't let this weigh your hearts, because when, like I said, we see or read life, even read scripture from our perspective. Our perspective. And perspective matters. Okay. So, God says, be very careful. Be careful about your hearts, that it is not weighed down. It is not weighed down by any of these things. The problem is, he says, you will not be able to see. You will not watch. You will not pray. You will not. Yesterday we were looking at the first thing about Jesus talking about the kingdom. When they asked about the kingdom, who will be the great? Because this is all got to do with the kingdom. It's the whole thing has got to do with the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. It's coming. And the question asked to us, who will be the greatest? And Jesus puts a little child over there and he says, you must humble yourself and must become like this little child to enter into the kingdom of God. And who does is the greatest over there. And the first thing about the child we looked yesterday was, is dependence. The child is entirely dependent upon the parent. Absolutely, totally dependency. Like I said, dependency is manifested in the spiritual realm, in your prayer life. In your prayer life. And your word life. And if you look at Jesus, those are the only two things that you connect with him. He prayed like his life literally dependent upon it. I cannot do, and the result of his prayer is in what he tells his disciples. I do not do anything other than I have seen my father do and how he does it. I do not say other than what my father has told me. He's talking about his dependency. Dependency. And that's what it is talking about, because what happens is that we will be weighed down and we will not watch and will not pray always. No. People pray, but that's not the prayer the Bible is talking about. Most of the prayers are connected with needs, not the prayer of dependency. It's a difference between, if you look at Jesus' prayers, they were not prayers of needs. They were prayers of dependency. That Lord help me. If you look at his one prayer which is recorded, Hebrews 5 verse 7, it's a prayer of dependency. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death. Okay, that's Jesus. He's saying that if you don't help me, I will also fall. I'll also fall. I need your help to hold me up through my life. I need your help to hold me up, because sin is there, temptation is there, the demons are there, the world is there. I am entirely dependent upon. That's why Jesus said, this is how you need to pray. Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the... That is the prayer of dependency. Instead, we have made our list of requests as dependency. No, that is not. That is not. Okay, though we are... That he said that I will add, I will provide. Okay, so the prayer we need to understand has different formats of prayer in the Bible. And this is the prayer he's talking about. Watch therefore. And pray always that you may be counted. I get scared by that one word in that verse 36. Is that word worthy? If worthy wasn't there, I would have relaxed. The question is, who will God consider worthy? Is the question, not man. It's not in our hands. It's in his hands. In the last days, I'm talking about rapture. And when you read scripture and compare scripture with scripture, Enoch terrifies you. Because we find only two people who were found worthy in their times. One was Enoch and one was Elijah. Okay. One was Enoch and one was Elijah. Two people, a picture of rapture. Okay. Now, this is not to scare us, but it is a fact. It is a fact which actually should lead us to dependency. That Lord, truly without you, I can do nothing. So this morning we'll go back to God as we end the week. We will pray with things all happening, crazy things happening all around the world. Okay. Okay. 2000 years ago, the Bible was written, right? The New Covenant was written. But before that, China was called the Dragon Kingdom. Okay, China is always associated with the dragon. Now the Dragon Festival is going worldwide. Even in India, they celebrated the Lunar Dragon in the offices and all. Dragon is going worldwide. So China was always associated with the dragon. And the Bible also associates Satan as the dragon. And everything seems to be looking like China is taking over. It's taking over. Taking over. They are taking over. And I'm telling you, don't look at our government and system. In a second, we will join with them. We'll join with them. Okay. Don't ever think that our government, they're all working together inside. They're all working together. So you see the movement of the dragon. If you look in Revelation, you will see the dragon gives power. Okay, the dragon taking over, because the enemy will also have his manpower on earth. And the only country that has that kind of power is, can you imagine if China and India gets together? Can you imagine the world population? Can you imagine what will happen? Okay, because that's where we have to realize it's all falling into place. The dragon moving in over there. and they are encircling the world. In every way, they're encircling the world. And you cannot even trust the system in US because they are in cahoots with them. They're all in cahoots with each other. Okay, so you can trust nobody. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't put our trust in the arm of flesh, in any system. We can only put our trust in God. And watch and pray. Only be watchful and pray, because when that happens, nobody knows. And it can happen so suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, literally fraction of a second. But the only thing, we read the parables also, it's about the bridegroom delayed, and they were not prepared. They were not prepared. Everywhere, whether it was servants of God, the pastors, down to the congregation, to everyone, you will see what the delay cost. They were unprepared. So we prepare. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Salvation comes from you, Lord. Your right hand worked salvation for us, Lord. Cannot come from anywhere else. You alone have the power to save your people, Lord. This morning, once again, we stand in your presence. We stand in the gap for your people.
Yes.
Everywhere around the world.
Yes, yes.
You know what your church is doing through, Father. Yes. Everywhere. You're called out once. Pressure. Enormous pressure, Father. Their lives, their homes, their churches, nations. Persecution, Lord. Every country, Father, there is so much happening, Father. But Lord, we look up. We look up, Father. You said when these things happen, look up, for your redemption draws closer and closer and closer, Father. This morning, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over all your servants, everywhere, Father. The blood, youngest to the oldest, from Aunt Julia, Reverend Love, onwards, Father, everyone, the blood over Ace, over Archie, Brad and C, Father. Abdul and Hamid and their household, Khadija, the children, the blood, Megan, Sarah, Father, Sammy, Sid, Larry, every one of our pastors, Paul, Perry, Father, Jesus, 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 the blood. Over ourselves, our homes, everything that you have committed
every
us.
Every one of us.
Everyone, the blood.
Hallelujah.
Over Priscilla, over the baby. Jesus, thank you, Lord. The more we study, the more we read the book of Revelation, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus, for coming, redeeming us, saving us from what is coming, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Once again, Lord, I commit everyone into thy hands, Lord. Be with us through this day, through this weekend, Lord. Meet each one at their point of need. All that we need is in you, Lord. In you we are complete, Father. We are complete in you.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, we will walk in faith. We will walk in faith.
Yes, yes.
We will keep our eyes fixed on you,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
And walk by faith. We'll walk over the water, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Above the storm.
Hallelujah.
You will take us to the other side.
Yes, you will. Yes, you will, Father.
Nothing is impossible with thee. Be with all the loved ones. Yes, everyone. Lord. Everywhere, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Have experienced the power of God.
Yes, Lord.
And the rest of God in their lives.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Once again, Lord, we bless you.
Lord,
we bless your holy name, we bless your holy name, and we declare, thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever
and ever.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.